The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond, Monumental Sports Network as well. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. We should remind people that in less than a week, the Junks will be doing the Altcast for the Washington Capitals game against the Buffalo Sabres this upcoming Saturday night.
Yep.
So, look, we love Joe B and Locker, but if you want a little bit of a different take on a Caps game, we will certainly provide that for you during the Altcast. So that's this upcoming Saturday night. So be sure to tune in.
Yep,
and 7
o'clock.
It out.
It's correct.
Do we know exactly what to expect? Not really.
We have no idea. We've never done it before.
So we'll see how this works out. We'll see how this shakes out.
I'm not even sure how much hockey we'll talk.
It's a very good point.
I mean, we'll talk a little bit about the game.
Sure.
But it's not like we're going to be breaking down X's and O's.
If I had to put up a hockey talk pie for the Altcast, 15 to 20% would yeah. That'd be my initial guess.
I think that might be high.
I could be wrong. Right now, we're joined by Will Brinson from CBS Sports, cbssports.com. Good morning, Will. How are you?
What's up, guys? Sorry about that. I don't know why my phone does do not disturb, but
All good.
I wish it would block other people's calls for me instead of y'all.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you get inundated with weird, like, phishing texts sent to your phone, or is that just me?
Yeah. Like, the one, I love the one that's like, hey, we tried to deliver a package to you. You should go to usps.xyz.biz.net. It's like, sure. Like, I can definitely see why old people fall for this.
I don't get that one. The one I get a lot, and I just block this number every time, is, hey, we're interested in your property, and they give an address that's an address I've never seen or heard of or never lived at. And then I'm like,
I get one for like, it's like, hey, are you still trying to sell that townhouse in New York? Yeah, sure. Like, wire me some money. Like, hit me up. They're like, Ethiopian king over here.
Hey, Will, we know you're an NFL senior writer, but we have to pick your brain about the huge news, Juan Soto landing in New York, but not with the Yankees. With the Mets, no deferred money, 15 years, $760-plus million in his pocket. This is what happens when Scott Boras is your agent. You go to the highest bidder, and this is a gigantic contract that he's signing.
Yeah, insane contract. Look, so, my buddy Zeke, who lives up in D.C., is a bit of a huge Nats fan, so I've gone to a bunch of Nats games. I had like their over win total when they won the World Series, and had some futures on them to win the World Series that year. Like, so I've always been a big Juan Soto fan. Mm-hmm. The Yankee thing, pretty gross, not really his fault. This is a vile betrayal of interdivisional cash flow. Like, I don't blame anybody if you go get $785 million or whatever it is, like, good for you. But like, I find the Mets to be like this, like, when the Yankees do this, it's at least it's gross, right? They go out and spend all the money, get all the best players, and the Dodgers do it, same sort of thing. The Mets doing it feels like a redheaded stepchild version of that, because you know they're going to screw it up somehow. But like I can't stand, like, I don't know, like, just like the Mets have just, but they've like moved themselves into that same territory thanks to Steve Cohen and all that cash, where it's like, yeah, it's not fun or likable, and the Mets never were fun or likable to begin with. So yeah, it's pretty foul, and I don't like seeing it.
Yeah, you make good points there. all right, so let's get to the NFL and get your reaction to games this past week. Had a ton of teams on bye. Still have one more game tonight, but kind of your thoughts on the way the Rams have kind of jumped back into this.
Yeah.
After getting, they had two serious injuries with Puka and with Kupp. Now they got those guys back. They had a total of, I think they had a total of like 18 or 19 catches last night. So Stafford, when he's got those two guys, man, their offense can roll, and they obviously beat a really good team. So kind of get your thought on the Rams jumping back into this, because now, you know, they're not just fighting for a wild card. They're a game back of the Seattle Seahawks. They've already beaten Seattle, and they play them one more time in Week 18. So they could be an NFC West division winner.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at that division, and it's – I mean, you don't want to say San Francisco's out of it, because they're not. But, I mean, they're just so banged up. And, like, now their third-string running back is dealing with a foot sprain as well. To me, the Rams are the quintessential – you don't want to see him in the playoffs team, right?
Right.
And they've sort of been that way for the last few years, whether it's the Super Bowl run, and even like last year, I thought, they just ran into a great Lions team, and I thought that they could have made some noise. Stafford, and I've been banging this drum longer than anybody, I think, but I mean, Matthew Stafford's a Hall of Famer in my book, and it's not particularly close. I think his ability, when he's got all those guys out there, the offensive line is starting to cook a little bit here. It's gotten healthier. Like, they're just getting healthy at the right time. Puka is playing awesome. Cooper Kupp was on the trade block like 4 weeks ago, and you can't imagine them dealing him now. Blake Corum, they're starting to really kind of shift how much they use Corum versus Kyron Williams. One, I think, to keep Kyron healthy and to keep him fresh, but also because Corum's, they brought him along really nicely as a rookie. And then defensively, they've got a lot of really good young pieces who are stepping up. They can get pressure on you. And you see them, they go toe-to-toe with the Bills in the highest scoring game of the season. And it just shows you that on like any, when Stafford's protected and he's got those guys out there, he can cook as hot and as well as anybody in the league at the position. I just feel like the Rams' ceiling, particularly if they win the division and they get, I think when you look at the NFC, the AFC is probably going to be the Chiefs and the Bills in the title game. I mean, it just feels inevitable. In the NFC, it feels like Lions and Eagles, unless one of two teams, or more specifically, one of two quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford or Jordan Love, really disrupt those playoff brackets by just getting nuclear hot. And I think that's got to be the scariest thing in the world if you're, Philly or Detroit. It's like a quarterback like that can get in the playoffs and just like flip a switch and just go nuclear. And I think that's where the Rams should scare people.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Will, I do not have a vote for NFL Coach of the Year, nor should I. But but if I did,
neither should Pete Prisco, but here we are.
But if I did, I know who I'm voting for. It's a lock. I'm voting for this guy. Do you want to take a guess?
I know who it is. He's a young stud, young offensive mind, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Kevin O'Connell.
You got it.
That guy has taken Sam Darnold, and he's turned him into a quarterback who's going to throw mid 30s in touchdowns.
He's turned him into an all pro.
And they have 11 wins. Yeah. He gets my vote. Now on the other side, we saw this in the game yesterday. What has happened to Kirk Cousins? I used to be I'm a Kirk Cousins card carrying member, flag waver. Like I've been behind
he loves
him forever,
Cousins.
But it's hard to keep backing him with some of these outings in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, so they haven't won. They've won one game since Halloween. It was that game against Dallas where Cousins had three touchdowns and no picks. Since then, four games, no touchdown, no passing touchdowns, eight interceptions, and they're 0-4. Now, I was looking at it this morning, actually. They've got a tiebreaker over the Bucks because they swept the season matchup, and the Falcons' schedule to close out is super easy.
Yeah.
They have the Commanders, I think, right? Commanders, yep. Giants, Panthers, and Raiders.
Yes.
So, like, that's. I mean, you could see, like Bijan Robinson could just have a great stretch and carry them if Cousins just doesn't make any mistakes. The Bucs have a similar schedule, but they have the Chargers as well. So Atlanta, I mean, it's just the issue here for Cousins is, like, you know, we're getting reports that, you know, or people are clamoring, like, should they go to Michael Penix? And you're having to, like, leak out reports, like, we're not benching Cousins. And I get it. I mean, I think Atlanta probably knows better than anyone else what they have, you know, in Michael Penix and whether it would actually work to go to him. And, you know, Cousins, you're high priced free agent. You are, you know, you're 6-7, but you're still very much in that wild card mix in the NFC South. The issue is, like, it's just become such a, like, there's no margin for error because the Buccaneers schedule is so easy. And because you have the NFC North, and the NFC West, which looks like it's going to put in at minimum, like, I mean, four teams, right? The winner of the NFC West, and then, you know, probably three teams from the NFC North just because they've got so many wins. So it's like Atlanta, the problem is the last 4 weeks, they just put themselves in this position because Cousins has played so bad that any sort of slip up down the stretch, and they're going to find themselves on the outside looking in. As far as O'Connell goes, I mean, I wrote about this last week, like, I'm okay with, like, eight different guys winning Coach of the Year. It's a fascinating race. I mean, Dan Campbell would absolutely deserve a vote for having the Lions as the best team in football. Mike Tomlin's got these voodoo magic working with the Steelers, and Russell Wilson, they're 10-3. You know,
how about Andy Reid, 12-1, and he's had a billion injuries?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing about the Chiefs is, like, I mean, it's like you go through the list of, like, they've won 10 one-score games.
Yeah, I know.
That is wild.
They get it done, They get it done.
The Chiefs look exactly like the Patriots during their dynasty run, where, like, some years they just didn't have it, but they still, you know, would keep it close. And then you get the ball to Brady at the end. Belichick, you know, out-coaches the other team. You find a way to win. You get to the playoffs. You get the first round bye. And you just get hot for, like, 3 weeks. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like freaking Thanos. They're inevitable, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Andy Reid deserves consideration. But, I mean, Matt LaFleur, who's, you know, third place in the NFC North, lost Jordan Love for a few weeks, won games with Malik Willis. There's a bunch of guys around the league who are doing a great job coaching. I think it kind of, Sean Payton. Jim Harbaugh. Like, there's tons of names out there.
All right. So,
O'Connell's a good one.
Washington has four games left. They got to play the Saints, who are going to be on a backup quarterback because Carr broke his hand. They've got the Eagles one more time. They've got Dallas one more time. And they've got Atlanta at home, which would be huge for head-to-head tiebreaker. What do you think Washington needs to do in the final four? Do you think 2-2 gets them in? Or do you think they have to get to that 11-win mark?
Oh, God, man, the playoffs are so tough this year. It's crazy, right? Like, mm-hmm. You feel like it's just a top-heavy league right now. And the problem is, you know, as I mentioned, you've got Tampa Bay with an easy schedule, Atlanta with an easy schedule. Dallas is playing actually decent football right now. Philly's not going to sit their guys. I think if you beat Atlanta 2-2, could get it done, but it's going to be close. And I do worry. I'm very curious to see how Washington looks coming out of the bye on offense, just because, you know, mm-hmm. we had this history of Cliff Kingsbury's offenses in the second half of the season with Arizona. I mean, it's just a fact at this point, right? And we've seen it the last few weeks with the Commanders before the bye, where you're sort of wondering, is that second half swoon starting to take place? If you want to guarantee you're in, obviously go win three games.
Right.
10 wins and out of the playoffs would be such a tough beat.
If you're
the Commanders. I mean, you feel really good about where you were. You'd just be, like, flabbergasted by not making it. So I'll say 3-1. I think 2-2 possible, but the NFC South, those teams just have such easy schedules, even if the NFC North kind of beats each other up.
Hey, before we let you go, you're down there in ACC country. I wanted to flip it to the college football playoff bracket.
I was going to ask about Belichick.
Well, you can give me your thoughts on that too, and how serious Carolina is. You can throw that in there, but your thoughts on, you know, there was only one real controversial play, and that was SMU getting in over Bama. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, Bama had a chance to get in and just blew it. Like, don't lose Oklahoma.
Right.
Don't lose to Vanderbilt. You know, I mean, like, you can't lose. Like, Nick Saban doesn't lose those games, and he's in the playoffs. I think Bama's just not as scary, and I would have been pretty miffed. You know, I think SMU, like, the idea that SMU was guaranteed to be in the playoff if they said, we forfeit the ACC championship game, we're just not playing. And if they've been left out because they played a really close game against a Clemson team that's kind of getting hot at the right time and has, you know, Dabo and some really good skill position guys, you know, like, that to me would have just been wrong, where, you know, you reward Bama for not winning enough games to make the conference championship. I think they got to, you know, they did the right thing, but they do need to tweak some stuff in the playoff, particularly the giving byes to the top four conference champions. Like, what?
I think they will.
They have a bye. Yeah. That's great.
I think they're going to. I think next year they'll reseed, and then the top four, whether they're conference champions or not, will get the byes. It's the way I think.
Yeah, but I'm pumped for these games. Though, like, you get four home playoff games.
I know. I'm actually thinking about going to the Penn State SMU game.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You should. I'm an SMU fan. I got friends who live in Dallas, so I went to the SMU BC game. It's a cool environment. They actually set up the tailgate like Ole Miss does, where it's like in the middle of campus.
Right.
Decent scenery.
Now, I'm not going to pay for tickets. If I have to pay for tickets, I'm not going.
Well, neither would Will, because SMU guys probably rich friends.
Oh, yeah. I'm out of my bracket when I'm out in Dallas.
I was kind of hoping Bama would get in, because not that I think Bama deserves it, but I think Bama Penn State at Penn State would have been unbelievable atmosphere.
I think they would have found a way to have Bama at Notre Dame.
Well, maybe you might be right. Yeah.
Will, yeah. Thanks as always for the time,
all
man.
Right, bro.
We'll talk to you again soon. Right. Have a great holiday season. Great Christmas, man.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. See you guys.
Yep. That's Will Brinson at Will Brinson on Twitter, senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. We'll do Cakes' entertainment page when we come back.